I, Charles IV, or is it the third? Bloody
pain. We will strive for the detoxification of
the
Let
me put it to you.
Can't grow concrete.
Yes, you
if
can.
You win by one, you've won.
The phone went over the side.
It is time to draw a line.
I just think everyone should be shocked.
What the fuck is going on?
Hello, I'm Mark Steele. Welcome to my podcast, where each week I ask the question, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going on?
Boris Johnson is being investigated again because he wrote in his diaries about all the gatherings that he held at Chequers during lockdown. This is amazingly generous of him to keep entertaining us long after he was kicked out. And it seems certain he'll keep this going. In July, we'll find out that during the strictest phase of lockdown, he joined 35 members of the cabinet in a hot tub at Chequers that was paid for with a loan from Vladimir Putin, who he invited to a fancy dress party where he won first prize because he went as the Queen, having nicked her crown when she put it down during Philip's funeral. And then he would relax after the daily conference in which he gave the latest R numbers and insisted no one should stand within 2 metres of anybody else by squashing all his staff into a sideboard and licking them one by one, which he insists was completely in line with the rules of the time. And then someone will release photos of him going straight from a meeting with Chris Whitty to wander around London Zoo shooting the giraffes, which he will say was a reasonable way, reasonable to unwind after a very hard day, and I was advised this was completely within the guidelines set out by the RSPCA. His supporters say the investigations are a witch hunt because when someone's investigated for breaking the law on the grounds that they've written in their diary that they broke the law and there are hundreds of photos of them breaking the law and the law they're breaking is a law they created, it's a witch hunt. And it would be exactly like a witch hunt if in the 16th century there were loads of women who screamed, on no account cast any spells, and then wrote in their diaries, every day for 4 months me and all my witch friends have filled pots with eyes of iguanas and tongues of buffaloes and turned people into lizards, and we've been photographed flying about on broomsticks, and one of us said, I've been advised this is perfectly within the rules set out by the Witchfinder General. It was the same when the great train robbers were jailed. They complained quite reasonably, this is a witch hunt. You don't ask people who haven't got sackfuls of money stolen from a train whether they stole money from a train. Now, lots of liberal people get very angry about Boris Johnson for tarnishing public life and that sort of thing. But I think he's turning out to be the most worthwhile politician in modern times because he's imploding. And it's marvellous to watch, and we've earned this. 18 months ago, he seemed impregnable, like he could do anything and get away with it. And he was protected partly by enough popularity to win an election and because people would do as he asked, arranging loans and financing pole dancers because he had power. But that's all gone now. So he should give back to the community even more by carrying on like this until he's ringing that lord who paid for his bathroom, crying, look, could you pay for just a couple of bog rolls? I mean, Carrie's going berserk and I'm touching cloth. And yelling at pawnbrokers, you're having a laugh. It must be worth more than that. God's sake. This wallpaper was £800 a fucking roll.
What the fuck? What the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on?
This week, further allegations emerged concerning Boris Johnson's behaviour during the lockdown. Some people regard this as a witch hunt against the former Prime Minister, especially Conservative MP Nadine Boris.
Nadine, what's your reaction to reports that Boris Johnson broke lockdown rules by inviting people to Chequers?
Oh, that's a lie. There's no evidence for that whatsoever.
He wrote it in his diary.
So what? I wrote in my diary that I gave David Hasselhoff a handy round the back of Lime Street Station, but that was just to impress Janine, the slutty little shithouse.
It doesn't concern you if the ex-Prime Minister broke the law?
Ex-Prime Minister? Future Prime Minister, more like. He'll be back. So what if he's a bit of a wrong'un? All the best people who do good are a bit rough around the edges, like Robert Mugabe or Jimmy the Cleaver at the Inglenook. He might split your skull open, but he'd always give his mum a bunch of flowers on Mother's Day.
He stole them from graves and roadside tributes.
There you go again. You've always got to be so negative. What did your diary say during lockdown? Sat in and cried while you were playing with your twiggler cock, fantasising about having a threesome with Carol Vorderman and Gary Lineker, you shithousy little shithouse.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck is going on?
What is going on?
Well, you know the routine now if you listen to this programme. It is not possible to work out what the fuck is going on without expert advice. And we have an expert, someone who is, I believe, was probably named Hampshire's most leading what the fuck is going on expert 2007, Paul McCaffrey.
I have been called so far this week a young man and an expert. These are two things that it may surprise you to hear do not get levelled at me very often. So, you know, it's been quite a good week for me.
Oh, well, you know what the fuck is going on. I remember we were stood in Edinburgh once, having been to the bar, and they closed down. I don't know what time it was. I think about 6.
I remember this.
And you were so cross.
Bloody bunch of squares.
You were so cross.
What sort of bar is this?
I remember
yes,
you
I
saying...
should add. I no longer drink, which sort of tells its own story. But
yeah, no,
it's always quite nice to have a reminder of why that is.
I remember you shouting at someone who was responsible for this sort of bureaucratic decision. We came here in good faith, you said.
Oh, dearie me.
And now, I know we share this. This is it might sound like a trivial subject, but parking your car, right? Now this sounds this sounds like something that's sort of neighborhood watchy and suburban and all of that. But it's not, is it?
This is a real problem.
The fulcrum, is that a word? I don't know if it's a word. The fulcrum, the epicenter of everything that's gone wrong in the world, it seems to me.
I think it started with parking, didn't it? It was like, yeah, because I can remember, you know, parking in town was used to be free. That as a given.
Fun, even.
Well, we wouldn't go that far, but like, let's keep this in perspective. But, you know, it may not have been fun, but at least you didn't have to pay for it. And now, I mean, the time, you know, the time restrictions, it used to be 9 till 5. 8 till 6. Alarm bells started ringing at 8 till 6. As soon as I saw the first 7 till 10 p.m., I thought, this is out of hand.
This is
now
how Mussolini started.
You know, resident permits, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week.
Mm.
That was a Monday to Friday, 9 till 5 deal.
Mm.
I don't know who is responsible for this, but I mean, you know, we both spend a lot of time in other towns traveling around. I used to have an encyclopedic knowledge of where you could park for free in all major cities. You know, Nottingham, yeah, I could tell you where to park there for free. You know, you mentioned you're off to Leeds there tonight. I would have been able to tell you where to free. But then even, you know, I would go to places that historically have been free parking round the clock. And now there's restrictions in there. There'll be a yellow line. There'll be a parking meter. And, you know, it's out of hand.
And it's not just free. It's not just that it's no longer free. It's so much more complicated. And apps. Fucking apps. So you need...
Oh, this is a new one. You've got to use Dungo Parking. I've not used that one before. Let's load another parking app on my phone. Spend fucking 10 minutes filling out a form. I only need to park for half an hour. The admin's going to take me longer than that.
Yeah, and by the time you go back there, Dungo will have been taken over by Shitgo. And so you've got...
by JD Sports.
Yeah, British Nuclear Fuels. And so now you've got to download their parking app, and which is so hard. And then they... Oh, and the fucking messages, right? So they don't just go, so put in your 27-digit password now. They don't just go that. They go, here at Dungo, we have a series of parking offers that we can make to you. If you proceed with it, just fucking get on with it.
Oh, fucking hell,
and
mate.
The terms and conditions are that if you have a bulldozer, then you will need to apply to the... If you have a steamroller, you will need to write to Oswestry City Council. And...
That Anything parking related as well, like that's a really mucky way to make millions, isn't it? You go like, oh, this is his business is private car parking. Yeah. You know, you're trading in misery, aren't you?
Yeah, well, hospitals do it. This is so outrageous. So, probably, I don't know when, I'd guess about 15, 20 years ago, they started charging for parking. So you absolute butter, your whole mindset must have been, they're going to have to bring a car. Because they're fucking limping. They'll have had a heart attack.
We've got them.
They got no fucking choice. So you've had your stood
so
there.
Cynical.
You've had a stroke and you've got a fucking download a parking app.
Well, yeah.
While you're crawling around on the floor with all dribble coming out of your mouth and you're looking at your location code PIN number that you have to... That has to have 19 digits, of which 4 must be Japanese, and then you have to say it in a fucking in a Somerset accent.
One character, one numeric fucking. You're like, oh mate, and then you know you're usually tired. Fucking
now
hell!
Now say it in Welsh.
I mean, and then also, I always just use the same password because when you start to get older, these things are more difficult to remember. Then you'll see a story about how that's not good. Someone has hacked into someone's account. If you've got one password for everything,
and now
you can get in
taken
and
your mum.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think there should be some sort of system where, you know, where they're talking about how there needs to be a universal charger for phones, firmly in agreement with that. Also, you know, like when you are stuck on a motorway and you run out of petrol, and the petrol at the motorway services is like 30p a litre more than it is anywhere else. But I think they're now trying to make that so there has to be one blanket price that they all have to agree on. Is that right?
I don't know.
It should be. But I think someone should have to bid. And, you know, I don't know. There has to be a better way of doing this. It's an absolute free-for-all out there.
How are you with multi-story car parks?
Oh, mate. Well, there'll be 50 places in an area that can fit 40 in for a start.
Yeah.
So you're constantly having to sort of like... ease your way into somewhere and you go like, well, the person next to me is going to open their door into my car, so that's a dent that I'm going to have to, you know.
And you won't be able to get out, so you'll have parked there, won't be able to get out. After about 20 minutes of trying to get out, you think, well, if I wait another 20 minutes, I might have lost enough weight that I can squeeze out. But then that doesn't work, exactly. So you have to just drop.
Yeah, don't go for a meal while you're parked here. And you just cut, you could see the kind of ghosts of accidents passed all up the walls, all around there, where people have just scratched the side. It's like that Hammersmith flyover where there's just kind of, you know, they've got those two bollards which you have to squeeze through to slow people down getting in there. And there's fucking wing mirrors, arms, just debris where people have just not quite managed it.
Yeah. I've walked round and round and round multi-story car parks.
Trying to find
A, my car, and B, the machine where you pay.
I've got a lot better at that. So, like, if I ever use the parking at Gatwick, I'll always take a picture of the sign, which will remind me where I am, you know, because that's...
Oh, right.
I've had my fingers burnt.
Yeah, I've been to Gatwick and done that, and then just after 3 or 4 hours, just left the car there. I'm sure there must have been
festivals.
To
bring it back to that. That's the worst one for that. Monday morning. I can remember a friend of mine losing his cars and his dad had to come and sort of get us. We're all sort of like on the back end of a weekend.
You have to go back to Glastonbury in November.
Hello, Mr. Evis. I think I left my car here.
Oh, there's a cow on it.
They've made a stone circle around it for next year's festival.
Well, what I think is such utter shithousery. So it used to be that, and this was a lovely thing that used to happen in the world, you would park your car and then you'd go to the parking meter and then someone would come over and go, I've got 20 minutes left on this, mate.
That is the worst. That is the most, what a lovely moment.
Yeah, wasn't it?
I think that's where division started to kind of, because, hello, mate, still an hour left on that.
And you'd think, I'm going to do that to someone else. I'm going to pass that kindness on to someone else. So you'd go
100%.
And so they've thought, because that, and then they've thought, the little bastards, bloody with their bloody generosity.
So you now have to put your bloody registration number in to make sure that no one...
You bought 2 hours parking, so what? It's no different from buying a bar of chocolate and going out and giving some of it to someone else.
That person gets to drive off feeling they've done a good deed, and you go, oh, humanity isn't fucked.
No. And then they go, you little fucker.
Right, we'll put a stop to that
generosity. I'm not an expert on how the Yugoslavian civil war started. I wouldn't be surprised if that was it. I bet Serbs and Croats and Bosnians and that, they all used to go, you'd like to have, I have 40 minutes left. And then they brought this in and now there's, oh, fuck a lot of you. And the next thing, there's bloody Srebrenica.
Let's not rule it out.
What have we got to? We should talk about your magnificent podcast, Paul. What's upset you now? Which is very, very. I've been on it myself, so I'm not entirely, impartial.
Superb.
Thank you. No, and I don't. It was a struggle for me because the idea of it, the premise of it, is that some trivial thing has annoyed you, and that's. I'm just not that sort of person, really. So it took me hours to think of anything.
Just press record and let you carry on as normal. So I do that with Sean Walsh. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
7 or 8 times a day, I think. There's a thing I'm going to mention next time I'm on that.
You'll have to come back on.
Well, Pete is an obvious one. People were bloody playing things on buses and trains on their phone.
God's sake.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take
unacceptable
a record player or a tumble dryer maybe on a train and go, I'm just playing this. A really old one that's all fucking clapped.
Set of bongos. Pan pipes.
God.
What is the most annoying musical instrument, do you think?
A tuba.
Probably the recorder. Oh, it's a sort recorder. Of like a chair being dragged across. Badly played recorder. It's like a chair being.
I used to play a badly played recorder when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't we all?
Well, it's acceptable when you're 9. But yeah. But then people were there, just their loud thing. Look, it's my mate. They were out on a piss. They were out on a piss in Basingstoke, and they all got on a bus shelter, and it's really loud. Oh, that God. Sort of thing.
Out on the piss in Basingstoke. Now there's a depressing sentence. Speaking of someone who has been out on the piss in Basingstoke on a number of occasions. Sent a shiver down my spine.
You know, Basingstoke had the longest recorded riot in British history.
Did it?
Yeah, in the 1880s. Yeah, because Salvation Army, Basingstoke was known as the most drunken place in Britain. So the Salvation Army in its very early days decided to target Basingstoke in order to drag people out of pubs. And they were hard. They must have been pretty hard. Imagine that, going into pubs. Come on out. You know, this
is a tough little town.
So the Salvation Army were particularly tough. And a riot ensued that went on for about a year, I think.
Wow. Wonder if there's any videos of that on YouTube. Not if it was in 1880, I shouldn't imagine. That'd be something else for me to get pissed off about retrospectively. Bloody hell. Free the Basingstoke 7.
Yeah. Paul, it has been absolutely marvellous to have you on here. You have to come back again very soon.
I'd love to.
And what's upset you now? And what the fuck is... I think if you listen to both of those, you get all the current affairs you need in your life.
Yeah.
Fuck it. The news is overrated.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. Oh, what the fuck is
going on? As you know, we like to get all sorts of views on this podcast, so... Here, once again, is the master of gently teasing out opinions, Mike Concrete. Right, with us is Don Surbiton. He's got a funny story to cheer us all up. What happened to you last weekend, Don?
Well, I was leaving my office in Woking, Mike. I'd stayed a bit late to finish a spreadsheet and I got stuck in the lift. I shouted for help, but it was Friday, so I was the last one there. I'd left my phone on my desk, so I ended up in there till Monday morning.
So you were forced to rely on your wits like a proper man.
Well, I went to sleep mostly.
You went to sleep? Why didn't you do press-ups to build your muscles so you could prise open the doors? Bruce Willis would have done that in Die Hard, and he had robbers trying to shoot him. But you can't be bothered.
Well, I thought the best thing was to wait till Monday when they were all back.
That's the trouble these days, isn't it, Don? We live in a something-for-nothing culture. you expect someone else to come and rescue you.
I had a puzzle book, so I just did a lot of the crosswords.
Did you hunt for rabbits and badgers like Bear Grylls would have done?
Well, I was in a lift, Mike. I had a sandwich in my case, so I had half on Saturday and half on Sunday.
And now I suppose you're going to demand millions of pounds of compensation for post-traumatic lift syndrome.
No, I just hope they mend it.
Oh, right. So now you want the taxpayer to fork out because you don't think your lift's good enough. Do you want it lined with fur? Do you want dancers in there to keep you entertained between floors? You should read your Bible, Don.
What's the Bible got to do with it?
The Ascension. When Jesus got stuck in a lift for 40 days on his way up to heaven, he didn't complain.
Jesus didn't go to heaven in a lift.
Yes, he did. See ya, Don. That's enough of that, idiot. No wonder my Netflix password stopped working. Here's Jeremy Clarkson with Butterfly of the Day.
Thank you so much to all those of you who are now supporting us on Patreon. It is because of you wonderful people that we can continue our quest to find out what the fuck is going on. If you would like to join these wonderful, virtuous, radiant people for as little as £2 a month, follow the link on our Twitter page or go to www.patreon.com and type in what the F is going on. Or to be in the elite, highest echelons of those people who are aware what the fuck is going on. For £4 a month, you'll get a longer ad-free version of the episode with extended interviews and bonus sketches. For example, this week, there's deceased Yorkshire cricketer Fred Truman giving his very, very moving tribute to Rolf Harris. And you'll get discounts on live shows, which we will be doing more of later in the year. And also, you'll get the episodes on Friday night. Unlike everybody else who has to just wait in misery, wretched, ringing up therapists to get through the day until finally the dawn rises on Saturday morning and the programme can be heard. So go to www.patreon.com and type in what the F is going on to join the WTF community. It has come to the grand time of the week when the nation shuts down the misery and the mundanity of normal life to listen to the announcements, when prime ministers and peasants alike stop the flow of their normal pointless blather and hear whatever announcements there are to be made. Oh, God, I better make some up now. Yes, this podcast will be going out for the first time next week in space. So if you're up there on the space station, or even if you've sort of got lost in one of the earlier Apollo missions because you were a stowaway and it was all a bit embarrassing for NASA to admit that you'd sort of got stuck there in a crevice of Apollo 12 or something, and you know, you're in the little bit that got jettisoned and you're now floating out somewhere in Pluto. From next week, you'll be able to, I know you won't be able to hear this announcement until next week, but you'll be astonished to find out that this is a rant about Suella Braverman or something. You'll think, is that the Earth I've left behind? I'm still doing the tour and stuff. I say this every week, so if you haven't heard this before and already bought a ticket, you're not going to like change your fucking mind now, are you? But anyway, I'm going to be Brighton on June the 3rd, Lancaster on the 17th of June, Telford and Workington after that, Hackney Empire on June the 8th. Come along to that one, wherever you're from, even if you're the person in space. Now, here is a relevant question from Chantal Spall, one of our Patreon supporters, who says, you're not going to believe this, but I promise this is true. It's what she says. Mark, not only do I look forward to the announcements, but I like to camp under the 5G mast a few days before in excitement, waving my flags and singing patriotic songs. If we had more of that spirit, the country would be able to lift itself out of this misery and this wretched inflation-driven conservative morass that we all seem to be in. You'd be what can't we achieve? We'd be like the late 16th century pirates sailing round the world, taking things, entrepreneurial spirit that made this country great. That's the sort of spirit. They were metaphorically sat under their 5G masts in 1588 and so on, and even had time to play bowls before going on to make the country great. So thank you very much, Chantel, and I hope that within over the next few weeks, I hope that you find thousands and thousands of people joining you under that 5G mast. There is, I should sort of say this every week, really, there is a chap called Mark Steele who is one of the main, if not the main person, who believes that 5G masks are frazzling our minds so that we can be controlled by an elite that may or may not be from other planets. And he's from Newcastle, and he's a great big bloke. I think he was, I think he has a conviction record that involves firearms, just to add to the sort of jollity of it all. And I don't know, and he's caught, and somewhere or other, and he speaks at these quite big rallies and stuff. I'm Mark Steerleek, and I'm telling you that there's our aliens and everything, and don't listen to 5G, because what it's doing, it's frazzling all our minds and making us not realise that we're about to be taken over by aliens who are using 5G masks to get inside our brains, Leek. So, for many reasons, that's not me, even though he's got the same name. But one of us, you know, maybe he's right and I'm wrong. Wouldn't I feel silly if history proved that to be the case? Thank you very much, Chantel, for that. Also, people have been getting in touch with us on our Patreon account, wanting to know what the fuck is going on with other things. Sue Barnard on Twitter, friend of the podcast, says, if, as Miss Braverman claimed, she was too busy to do a speed awareness course with other people, why wasn't she too busy to do the course if she'd been able to do it on her own? She can't have it both ways. Yes, I know what you mean. She was too busy to do the course. Yeah, it doesn't. Exactly. A speed awareness course doesn't take any more time if you're doing it with other people, does it? Now, I've two things here. One, I've got to do a speed awareness course, 35 mile an hour and a 30 mile an hour limit in Croydon at 1:30 in the morning. Now, I could complain, if I was that sort of person, that this is rather unfair, and that at 35 miles an hour on this particular, to be honest, in this particular stretch of Croydon, you could do 735 miles an hour and would be unlikely to cause it. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just calmly do as I was asked to do and go to a speed awareness course and accept my lot without trying to claim that I'm too. And I've got a podcast to do and shows to do and washing to do, which I bet Suella Brahman had, though. So I'm just going to, you know, take me punishment like a good citizen. But yes, it doesn't take any longer. It reminds me of when Tony Blair answered a questionnaire where he was asked, what do you dream about? And he said, these days, I don't have time for dreams. And I thought two things about that. First of all, what a miserable way of thinking that you don't have time for a dream. What is the single most powerful speech of modern life is when a man said, I have a dream, and you don't have a time for any fucking dream. How miserable is that? But not only that, you're wrong, because if you have a dream, that doesn't take extra time up, does it? Dreams don't add. You don't think, oh, God, I hope I just have a normal sleep with no dreams in it, because if I have a 10-minute dream, that's going to add 10 minutes to my sleep, you fucking idiot. What? And he gets paid about £1 million to go and bloody advise the government of Kazakhstan. They don't. If they'd read that, they wouldn't bother, would they? You don't think, oh, no, I've had a dream that I was swimming through custard in the bloody, but it was the Panama Canal, and then Noel Edmonds turned up and asked me to bloody put some rhubarb in me arse. Because that took 5 minutes, I'm 5 minutes late. Dreams are incorporated into the time you have with your sleep, Mr. Blair. I don't know how Sherry puts up with him. John Wilkins on Patreon asks, just stop oil, a necessary protest or a pain in the arse? Well, if you were to look at this dialectically, John Wilkins, as Hegel may have said, things can be two things at once, can't they? I think it is a necessary protest. We probably do need to stop the oil on account of the fact that carrying on with fossil fuels will render the planet uninhabitable. On the other hand, they are a pain in the arse. But then protest has to be a pain in the arse. There's no point in protest if it's not a pain in the arse. They make all these statements, don't they, in government and people, right-wing people, I think that protest, of course, is a fundamental part of what we as British people cherish as a democracy, but it shouldn't be at the expense of anybody else or cause any disruption to anybody. So we are saying that you can legitimately protest by sitting cross-legged on a floor, thinking, slightly rude, but not offensively rude, things about whatever it is that you're disgruntled about. And that's perfectly legitimate. Just sit there cross-legged on a floor thinking, I wish Jacob Rees-Mogg had never been in the government of our country. You can think that if you like, not for too long. After 5 minutes, of course, you will be questioned. But that is absolutely perfectly legitimate. So, yeah, they are meant to be a pain in the ass. And they got on a snooker table and covered it with orange paint. And I speak as an absolute devotee of watching the snooker. And I thought that was funny. Roddy Walker on Twitter says, "Hi, Mark. Will you find out what the fuck is going on in this country when the National Conservatives, what's it called? National Conservatism Conference is happening. And the top trending thing on Twitter is the bust up between Phil Holly and ITV. Fascism breaking out or celebrity fallouts. What the actual fuck?" Roddy, I know where you're coming from, but I'm with the people. I would much rather engage with what Phil and Holly are arguing about than the National Conservatism Conference. I think I know what you mean. I mean, in 1928 in Munich, probably there must have been two people presenting Good Morning Bavaria. And they were having a bit of a row about, I don't know, whatever it was. He was just being just too rude generally about various market stalls and, you know, some of the beer that he'd had at one of the Kellers. And she, you know, said, no, I've got an aunt who's runs one of them stalls or something. And they had a big bust up about it. And meanwhile, Hitler was writing Mein Kampf. I fully understand where you're coming from, Roddy. But on the other hand, I think I'm with the people here. I really don't want to know what they were talking about at the National Conservatives. I can guess. I've not really read it. I should think one or two of them were getting up and saying, you know, the time has come when we must accept that 98, you know, that foreigners are 98% insect, that we should fill in the English Channel with concrete. They probably were. I'm sure they were. But maybe if they were just put on an island and led to, and they could just act without anybody, that would be a wonderful idea, wouldn't it? I think we should encourage them to have another National Conservatism Conference, just surround it with barbed wire and snipers and just keep them there. There we are. That's what the fuck it should be going on. Now, we are all experts in knowing what the fuck is going on, or at least finding out in what the fuck is going on. And we all know that you can't do it without the voice of 26-year-olds who are at the epicenter of, of this project. So, walking up the street as we're speaking to him, through the marvels of the modern world, Elliot Steele. Hello, can you hear us?
Hello, yes, I can. So you're going to be able to hear some traffic and stuff.
Yeah. Though this
I do
is
apologize.
When I was a bit younger than your age, if you ever saw something on the telly that was live from somewhere else, it just seemed so amazing. It didn't matter what it was; you were just transfixed by it. There's football coming from Brazil. It wouldn't have mattered if no one had kicked the ball. We'd have just thought, this is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, but that, you know, it's all a bit boring now.
What would amaze you? What would have to happen, technologically speaking?
AI is what,
right, as what's going to happen with that then?
I think like there's like jobs that it's just going to render useless. So for example, right, once AI gets to a point, like I was explaining to you the other day, where you were kind of like going, no, it's not like, I don't really get it. It's not going to do any of this stuff. And I was like, all right, well, like, do you remember the beginning of the internet? Like, the internet in the 90s sucked. It wasn't very good. So it was kind of pointless for the everyday
person.
Yeah.
I remember Mark Thomas, but in fact, going, I remember him saying to me, look, it's amazing. I was going, can it do anything? And he went, look, it's amazing. And he went, just look at this. And he clicked on something. And about 15 minutes later, up popped a thing saying where the royal family were going to be that day. And I went, that took a quarter of an hour. And I don't want to know where the royal family are today. Go, no, but just fucking, listen, right, just fucking, I thought, well, you probably, you know, want to know where the Duke of fucking Essex is so that you can go and bloody have a demonstration against him. But most people don't need that.
Okay, so that's it. Well, AI is a little bit different at the moment, like ChatGPT and stuff like that. But like, so for example, here's like a group of jobs that I think it will render useless. It's like lawyers. Right. So eventually, right, like, what do you pay a lawyer for? You pay a lawyer for someone who's spent the years of knowledge, they'll know cases, they'll be able to do all of this stuff. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for their knowledge and expertise of the law. Well, what if you get an AI system that knows exactly the same as that and is able to reference that? You can just get that to represent.
But why don't they need to sort of know the nuances of human behavior and so on? So in a courtroom, they'll go, you know, they might go, oh, once you've got a witness that's credible, for example, then you, the way you approach it changes a bit because this witness is really credible. Or if you've got a conversation.
Well, what if you just enter into the thing, approach witness as credible?
Right. But isn't it more nuanced than that, like, though? Isn't it more sort of.
Well, it'll probably work alongside humans, like, as anything. But so, for example, like accountants, things right. like that, you can just have a system that just does your accounting for you. It's artificially intelligent.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And it can teach
itself. Yeah, I can see that.
So,
my accountant always drove me mad because he just couldn't understand that I didn't. No, so he would go, all you need to do, and he did have a voice like that, bless him. He was a nice man, really, very nice man. But he would go, Mark, I just don't understand it. All you need to do is get a certificate of interest, and then you go, and then you just tap that in, and you reply, you put in the AIWC413 code, which we sent to you via the interplanetary bloody outer galactic system, which you should have installed, and then you download that, and then you put in your VAT requirement. And I ended up saying to him one day, stop it! I'm not an accountant! I might as well say to you, why don't you do a two-hour show? Just get some jokes, do some silly voices. And he went, oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, but that's his job might, in the next 5-10 years, be rendered useless. You know,
yeah.
So it is. You know, so for example, like editing now, has become so much easier. And it's not perfect yet. It's not, you know, we're at the early days of it, but soon editing's going to go. Like, you'll just have AI systems that know exactly how to edit.
But do you think
videos.
You'll have AI systems that go, oh, that was a really funny bit, but that bit didn't really make me laugh very much. I didn't get that. And so it'll cut out a bit. It might have cut out everything. It might have, you know, like if Richard Pryor's greatest stand-up might never have been seen because an AI bit might have thought, oh, I didn't think that was very funny about the Chinese waiter.
Well, I think, I don't know where it will get to on that, because that's where, like, the human thing of personal taste and stuff comes down to. That's where AI will, you know, fall down a little bit. But what I think the more, like, okay, so for example, like, say you've got someone who does poster design.
Right.
Well, that will probably go.
Right. What? How will it know who wants what sort of poster design?
Well, because what will happen is eventually you'll be able to put in like a picture of yourself and go, and you might be able to go, I want it done in the style of this, this, and this, and then show it some pictures, like upload some pictures that you fit are posters that you like, and then it will give you like 100 versions of that and you can pick the one you like.
Wow.
And it'll be indistinguishable from one made by a really good graphic designer because it can just mimic that graphic designer style.
Oh, right. No, so I suppose you could probably already do that if you want to go, I want a poster design that is me, but in the style of Rembrandt, or me in the style of Van Gogh, or me as a Picasso.
Oh, that's done already. Right. That's been happening for the last year and a bit.
I should add that Elliot is currently at Thornton Heath Station. I can see this is like a programme from the 80s. And I can tell you that Elliot is now at Thornton Heath Station. He's only got 31 minutes to go. And it's very exciting. He's now going to get the southern train that is coming. Well, he's still got 8 stops to go to Clapham Junction.
Yeah. I don't think everyone at Thornton Heath Station is as invested in the podcast as I am. let alone the man who decided he was going to bang a thing all the way down the stairs for no reason whatsoever.
What is it he's banging? It's the old Thornton Heath barrel down the stairs, man. he's been there for years. Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do, mate. I decided I used to work as an accountant, and I thought AI is going to ruin this job in years to come, so I might as well pursue the thing I love, which is getting a barrel and rolling it down the stairs at Thornton Heath Station. Then I'll push it back up again, and down we go again.
Well, that's very funny, but it's actually one of those things to help save the people off the train.
Well, they got to be a bit quieter about it, couldn't they?
It's a load of posters. Genuinely.
Oh, all right. You're on the train already.
Yeah.
That's worked out, right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh fuck! How are we ever going to do anything about the inefficacy?
I have to help this lady with a pram on the train. The door's shut.
Oh, look, no, there's a podcast to make.
I know. Sorry, I was just being a hero.
Fuck's sake. Do you think great art... what do you think? Do you think bloody Leonardo da Vinci would go, oh, no, hang on, I can't do her nose because there's a woman walking past and she's got a pushchair.
Yeah, well, I had to help. That's part of the podcast that people don't see. It's not all just dark jokes with me. When I get out in the world, I'm a helpful person.
You think Mozart went, oh, no, the thing is, I was meant to finish the Figaro tonight, but I just looked round and there was an old fella and he just tripped over a fence. So I went out there and helped him for 3 hours. Now the whole tune's completely gone out of my head, so there's no end.
Well, I don't know if the comparisons of WTF is going on to Mozart is quite the same.
It will be.
But
and he only did 40 symphonies. We've done about 100 of these things.
That is true.
Right. Oh, right. You've got to go. You're on a train. This is... Oh, go on. Let's listen to the announcements.
Southern service to Watford Junction. The next station is Norbury.
Yeah.
See, what I do is sometimes, if you're smart, you get the 19 pass to Watford, get that to Clapham, and then change. That's the...
No. Can you imagine how old it makes me feel that I have a son who's going, yeah, see, if you're smart, you can get the 19 pass, and that way you avoid having to change at Clapham. God, I remember Jeremy Hardy saying when he felt really old was when his daughter came up the stairs and went, what did I come in here for?
Oh my God! I'll tell you what—I don't need much of an autism test because I love knowing the train times and exactly what one to get there somewhere with record time.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you next week's podcast. We will alert the WTF public to how you got on. Clearly, you know what the fuck is going on with train times, yeah, Mr. Elliot Steele.
Thank you.
Where are you? Between
the train. Well, Norbury.
You'd feel an idiot if you got off here by mistake and then didn't even mind the gap between the platform and the train after they've warned you specifically.
I don't think I've ever actually got off at Norbury.
No one does. No such place. Thank you very much, Elliot Steele. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you've liked it, rate it, and if you can be bothered, write a review. If you can't be bothered, then force yourself to write it. What do they all say? These guru people who tell you how to lead a proper fulfilled life. It's when you don't want to do something that you have to do it. So if you can't abide the thought of writing a review, make yourself do it. That's what Andy McNab would have done. If there is anything at all that you think I should be finding out what the fuck is going on with it, please send me a message on Twitter at WTFisGoingOnPod and we will look at every message that you send. If you'd like to become a WTF supporter and get early access to ad-free extended versions for as little as £2 a month, please visit our Patreon page. What the Fuck Is Going On was hosted by me, Mark Steele, with my guests Paul McCaffrey and Elliot Steele. Voices by Sarah Alexander. It was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair. The music was by Willie Dowling. It was produced by Mike Benwell at Carousel Studios. What the Fuck Is Going On was brought to you by WTF Productions.